Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
I want to move into a time where we get the Word of God to saturate into our hearts. And some of you, you're aware of a form of reading that's called Lectio Divina. And that's where I read a small passage of Scripture three times. The first time, you'll just listen to it. The second time, you'll let something of the passage emerge. You'll pay attention to what gets highlighted. If it's a phrase or a word or just an aspect of that passage, you'll pay attention to that, because I'm imagining that it would be different for many of us. And then the third time that I read it, we're going to put ourselves in the story. We're going to put ourselves in the listening. We're going to put ourselves in close proximity to what's being said. And we're essentially asking God, what does this mean for me personally? And so this is a relatively short passage of Scripture. It's familiar to many of you, and it's from John 15. And this is a good time for us to not necessarily follow along in our Bibles, but to meditate and to let the Word wash over our hearts. And so again, John 15, verses 3, 4, and 5. This is Jesus speaking. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Holy Spirit, we invite you to highlight something now for us. Again, John 15. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, Holy Spirit, draw us in. Let us receive from you, Jesus. John 15. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus, I acknowledge that you are the living word and that you've come to take up residence with us. And so as we read this and as we allow you to highlight things for us, I pray that whatever it is you're saying to us would drop deep into our hearts and would really produce the outcome that it's intended to. We want to thank you for drawing near here this morning. We want to thank you for the sweet spirit in worship and for just the reminder of your heart here in this place and abroad and all the places that you are meeting people. And I want to ask, Lord, now that as we pour over this and as we take some time to let you encourage us, I pray that you would speak, continue to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, this morning I want to talk about the transformation that occurs when we abide in Jesus Christ. Now, I know that last week when some of you were here when Brian Finnemore shared, and he shared with us a story from Matthew 16, if you remember that. And this is a story when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And who was it? It was Simon Peter, who said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then he goes into this. Jesus really starts to declare identity, not only over Peter's life, but over us as the church. When he says, I say that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so if you recall, the point of last week's teaching had to do with identity, and Jesus saying this, you know, this is who you are, first to Peter and then to us as the church. And I found it really amazing because the dynamic of this story lives today, because that was the proclamation of Peter, wasn't it? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God who even speaks to us today about this. And so the Father reveals to us Jesus as the Messiah, Son of the living God. And this point was, you will prevail. There will be overcoming in your life. This is your identity. This is your birthright. This is who you are as my sons and daughters. You are coming into that identity. And so last week we had people take an opportunity to stand if they felt like there was an obstacle in their life and they wanted people to just stand with them in prayer. And so I have a story. Actually, Bob and Jan have a story. So come on up. This is real time. This just happened this week.
We had to share this because it was just so amazing how it happened. But some of you, I've been just working through the timing of what is God doing for a couple of years and just really struggling with that, going up and down, and what is God doing in terms of where does he want me to move out from here? And the biggest thing for me was the timing aspect. I don't know about you. God's timing is never my timing. And it just... he just doesn't come around to that, it seems like. And so last week, when Chris asked just if you want someone to pray, I had to stand up, and Ken prayed with me, and it really did give me a sense that God's timing is right. Obviously, I know God's timing is right. You know God's timing is right, but you need to hear that, right? And for yourself. And I was just thinking about it. I was looking at a verse today, and it just was so perfect. David in Psalm 31, he says, be gracious to me in my distress, for I trust in you. And then later on, a couple verses later, he says, my times are in your hands. My times are in your hands. And I don't know about you, I need to continually to come back to that. I know that, but I have to hear it. And it just relieved me. And so what did that do? What that did for me is it caused me to look at a couple obstacles, but one major obstacle was I needed to step out, I felt, and trust God for a significant amount of money. And so Tuesday, I began to pray that God would just do an outrageous thing. Have you ever done that? Have you done it lately? And so it was so much fun for me, though, because God said, it's going to happen. And I can't tell you how that happened, but I know you know, and God just made it real to me that this is going to happen, and so I'll let Jan tell the next part of it.
So some of you know that we're thinking and praying about moving to Portland and to the West Coast to be closer to our kids, So Bob had told me a few weeks ago that he was thinking maybe he should just go out there and look. And so Tuesday night, I got a text from my brother who said that some of you know my dad had died earlier this year, and we had already dispersed, you know, his estate and stuff. And so it was a text from my brother saying that there was some money, the additional money that was going to be coming. And so it was, I mean, Bob just about fell out of his chair because it was exactly, you know, what he had been praying for, that there would be enough for him to be able to go and just to, you know, go ahead and, you know, look. So so that was just an amazing thing. But in my unbelief, I said, well, you're just going to have to, if God's telling you this, he's going to have to tell me that that's what this money's supposed to be used for. Because I was really thinking, well, we're going to need that money to get a house and get out there and all that stuff. So he said, okay, he would just pray that way. And so Thursday morning I got up, and I was getting up to do my devotional. And I don't know if you guys read Jesus Calling. But December 10th, that was the day. It was really interesting because it was not about that, but it was about where my security is. It was like God was hitting me at the root of why I was struggling. And he just dealt with it. He just said that my security needed to be in God and not in having everything figured out about my future. And then I looked on the other page, and the first sentence was about being willing to go out on a limb. And so the whole rest of that one was just about having to have things in order is just unbelief, and that I really needed to be willing to. And then God brought some verses to mind just about, you know, following my husband and being willing to trust God for that. And so I just said to Bob, go ahead and give your notice. So it was so neat because it was just last Sunday, you know, and it's so cool to see how God works here. And it's all like a weaving of what we're all of our lives are really woven together, and that he's at work in each of our lives. And when we come here, it's all part of it. So
one thing you could pray for us, obviously, we're looking for God to go before us there. But one of my ministries is spending the first 2 months just living with my two adult daughters out there. And probably for me that I'd have the right attitude and cook them something they can eat, I guess, huh? But that's just going to be a fun thing. In the past, I wouldn't have really embraced that, but I really appreciate that opportunity. I really will have some time with them, and both of them, I really don't get the extended time with them, so I'm going to try and make that my first thing I do. But.
That's so fun. Is that exciting, you guys? It's so good. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's some good stuff. Now listen, here we are. We're hearing a couple of things. One is that Jesus identifies who we are, and one of the things he says is that you will prevail, and that you will be an overcomer, not only individually, but as a church. Now, this message came to Peter through Jesus due to what? It was due to a revelation that the Father had given to Peter. It wasn't something that Peter drummed up, or it wasn't something that Peter heard in a cool podcast or from the latest and greatest this, that, or the other guy. It was from God. And so I found it really fascinating that the truths that are connected to this relate to us, because through the timeline of Peter, you know, we see a few things that are woven through his life that are really significant. And one of the things that I want to just draw our attention to, and I'll relay the story to you. I'm not going to have you turn here or read it, but it's out of John 1. And John the Baptist has followers, and he's got a couple of his guys standing with him, and Jesus walks the street in front of him, and John the Baptist looks over to his two disciples, and he says, "There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the two disciples of John the Baptist begin to follow Jesus. And Jesus stops, and he turns, and he asks them, "What do you want?" And their question to him, this is in John 1, this is really fascinating, John 1, 37. They say to him, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And his reply to them was, "Come and see." And they went with. When they had found where Jesus was staying, and they went there with him, it says this, that one of the two heard John speak and follow Jesus. He was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found first his own brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," in verse 42 here, and they brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," or Peter. The word that Jesus spoke to Simon, son of John, was, "You are Cephas." First time he'd met him. Now, let me ask you this. Like you were saying there, Bob, when you were up here, you were saying, look, I've been asking Jesus a lot of questions, and a lot of it has to do with timing, a lot of it has to do with purpose and focus and moving and this and that and the other thing. I mean, those are the kind of questions we typically ask, right? Jesus, what are you doing? What are you going to do about this? What do you want me to do? Who am I? Who are you? Those kind of questions are very common for us. And so what was in the instincts of these men to ask the question, where are you staying? And for them to go, when he says, come and see, they went. They encountered something of Jesus where Andrew would reach out to his brother, Peter, or Simon, son of John, bring him to Jesus. And in that abiding place, Jesus spoke to Peter. And he says, you are Cephas. And so I find it really amazing that we can lift our attention to that abiding place with Jesus. And as with Peter, Jesus defines you. As with Peter, Jesus validates who you are. The words of Jesus give you direction. The words of Jesus give you courage. He heals you, you know, and he transforms you. And so he does this through the words that he has spoken to you. And we all know from Romans 12:2 that transformation is something that's on the heart of God for us, that we're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And this is a process that takes us our life to experience and encounter, and it's going to come from some very specific things. And one of those things that Romans 12:2 tells us is that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, I've touched on this over the last 12 months or so, that I've been on this really amazing journey with Jesus to connect with him in some very dynamic ways. And some of these ways, they transcend or they go beyond just the written word of the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't pay attention to the Word of God. That doesn't mean that the Word is not important to me. The Word is extremely important to me. And the Word has been, in so many ways, the seedbed for me to encounter Jesus in these ways. And so I would never want to discredit the Word of God as we know it in Scripture. But I know that there is something different about having your mind renewed because you've experienced and encountered the living Jesus compared to getting more knowledge about the Scripture. And so what I've discovered then, and we know this to be true from 1 Corinthians 1:8, it says that we all possess knowledge, and knowledge does what? It puffs up, but love builds up. And so Jesus encourages us in John 15 to abide in his love. And so all of that is really important for us to think about when we consider if we abide in information, then really what we're doing is we're feeding on a steady diet of the knowledge of good and evil. And it puffs us up. It makes us judgmental, not only against other people, but against ourselves. But if we abide in his love, and if we abide with him in some real terms, then we begin to hear him speak his words to us, oftentimes through the Scripture, sometimes through that more subjective place of his voice speaking to our hearts. Like there's nothing in the Scripture that talks about you moving to Portland, and yet you are being led by following the Word of God for your life, right? So there it is, that abiding place. And I think it transforms us. I think it's hugely important for us. And I want to just move into this spot about this question, where are you staying? Come and see. I mean, we're being asked right now to consider, in all of the busyness of life and all of the things that you're connected with and the work that you're doing and the ministry that you're involved with and this, that, and the other thing, to ask that question, where are you in all of this, Jesus? Because I want to be fruitful. I want my life to mean something and to have impact. And I want these things to remain, not just for my generation, but for the generations to come. And so if I'm going to have any hope of fruitfulness, if I'm going to have any hope of impact in the name of Christ, then it's going to have to come from that abiding place. It's going to come from you connecting with Jesus in very real ways. That's why I've been facilitating over the course of several months for us as a fellowship, this thing, if you're new to us, this thing called Safe Place. And it's where we get to really just meditate on the security and the safety that we have in God. And we do that through a couple of different things. One of the things that we absolutely love is just times of silence, you know, where we just turn things off. We might get ourselves into a place of solitude.
And we relax and we ask the Lord, after we've prayed and have trusted that God has not only cleared the atmosphere of any voice of diminishment, any voice of dishonesty, any discouragement, we invite the very presence of the Lord to become acutely tangible for us. And we recognize that he has sanctified our imaginations, and we ask him to bring us into a safe place. Some of you have met Jesus there repeatedly, and it's been awesome. And I want to encourage you to keep going there. And for those of you who this is new information for you, I just want to encourage you to go to that abiding place. Because here's the phrase that really stands out for me this morning out of John 15. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. What has Jesus spoken to us? That in Christ you're a new creation, that the old is gone and the new has come, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is your birthright as one who's been adopted into the family of God, that you are loving and joyful and peaceful and kind, and the list goes on. It's amazing to know that these are the things that God has spoken to us, and we've probably read these things in the Bible, and maybe you've heard preachers speak on these things over the years. But have you heard Jesus say these things to you in that abiding place? That's what's going to make the difference. Here's what I've considered, that in the shame of failing God, in the shame of being confronted with your dysfunctional behavior or whatever it is, so often what we do then is we push away because we don't imagine that God would have an abiding place for us even in our shame. That when we come face to face with our brokenness, just like Peter in his denial, Jesus would pull up a space for us, much like the lake shore where he built a fire and he started cooking some fish and he invited Peter to come in to that space. Even in his denial. And from that place, from that abiding place, Peter was given an assignment. Feed my lambs. Now, here's the deal. I want to just pause for a second because I know that I've been praying and I have sensed over the course of many, many years that at some level I was going to be involved in college ministry. And I always wondered if that meant that I was going to move. Well, God saw fit to actually bring the college here to me, right? And so some of you who are in like Caris Bible College and you come to this church and you're connected with that, I just want you to know that I'm blessed that you're here. And that it's been a privilege to get to know you over the course of this last year. And some of you, you've really not only given of yourselves into this community and into this fellowship, but you really have it in your heart. I mean, with tremendous zeal to be used by God and to go out and to make a difference in the world. You're super excited about the truths that God's revealing to you. It's impacting your heart. You're experiencing freedom in that, and you want the world to know about it. And I say yes to that. Go for it. But only from the abiding place. So you're coming here to this fellowship, and you're experiencing this idea and this invitation on a consistent basis. And I think the reason why the Lord has you here to hear this message on a repeated basis is so that you get it. Seriously. It's not enough that we would put our zeal into this action and become hyperactive in the realm of, you know, doing without that abiding place. Because here's what I thought. I thought about it like this. Okay, fruit that remains is not a hybrid fruit. You get fruit. Okay, you go to the grocery store and you buy an apple that's a hybrid. If you were to take the seeds out of that apple and plant it in the ground, it's not going to produce a tree that produces more fruit, is it? So what we want then is we want something that's more pure than that. We want to have an unadulterated, like, abiding with Christ that is not blended in with our culture of hyperactivity. What we want is we want something of the Lord speaking to us, identifying us, giving us direction and purpose, anointing us with his Holy Spirit, sending us out, not because of our strength, but because we know from John 15 that apart from him, we can do nothing. And in that abiding place, he speaks to us. And even in our brokenness and in our weakness and in our shame sometimes, we remember the words that he spoke to us when we first met him. And like Peter, he looked him in the eyes and he says, "You are Cephas." Even though there's going to come a day 3 years from now where you're going to deny me repeatedly, I'm still going to call you by name. I'm still going to come to you, even in your shame and brokenness, and even in your reverting back to a lifestyle that you once knew that was, you know, secure because you could rely on your own strength in that place of occupation. I'm going to meet you there, and I'm going to speak to you. And I'm not only going to speak to you at the heart level, I'm going to connect with something called love, and I'm going to meet you there, and I'm going to give you assignment from that place. And I'm going to send you from that place. And this is what we experience of Peter after all of that. People brought the sick into the street and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Where did he get that anointing? From the abiding place. Or maybe Peter saying to the crippled, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'm going to give it to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he takes him by the hand and helps him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped up onto his feet and he began to walk. But then shortly after that, Peter and John were seized by the religious leaders. And then in Acts 4:8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. The stone that the builders rejected, speaking of Jesus, has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which you are saved." And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized what? That they were unschooled and that they were ordinary people, they were astonished and they took note of what? These men had been with Jesus. It's from that abiding place. And so as we move into, you know, this holiday and we're full swing, right? I mean, okay, pause here for a second. I was talking to Paul yesterday. How many of us feel like sometimes the holidays is just that sense of being behind for about a month? Let's brush that off and let's go abide with Jesus. We're not in that big a hurry. The list isn't that long. And trust me, you can accomplish a whole lot more with a whole lot less effort when you've been abiding with Jesus. So let that be our encouragement this morning. Jesus, we want to thank you so much for the invitation that in our humanity, wherever we're at, if we're on the front end of this thing, if we're full in the middle of it, or if we're seeing fruitfulness being manifested through our lives, we take a deep breath and relax, knowing that it's you. You're the vine. We're the branches. We abide in you, and in you we bear much fruit. And we thank you so much for the anointing that your presence brings to us. We thank you that we will have effect, and that as your people, there will be prevailing and overcoming and all of these amazing encouragements for us. And so, Jesus, as we pause and we take a couple of deep breaths, I want to ask you to connect with our hearts. I want to ask you to go with us as we leave this place. Encourage us to carve out time this week to abide with you and let you speak to us. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.